everybody. Connor here. We are doing another bonus real or fanfic episode for you here on Patreon. Mike, does it feel like you just, you cleaned up at the dog track, but you find yourself steering back in that direction to see if you could replicate the previous glory?
Yeah, I feel like old Gil. I just got to have one more.
Right, the sweet taste.
This is going to be it. This is it for sure. No, I mean, statistical anomaly, right?
Yeah, but as we've seen, you're hitting 3 for 5 is raising your average every single time we do it. So,
I was reading this thing about you and I have talked about this with compressed music, and I know that's like talking about the war of northern aggression or something.
Sure.
It's going to stir up some emotions, but. A guy wrote into a, because I was looking at something like, what should I rip my entire collection at? And there's a lot of strong opinions on that. But some guy wrote in like, hey, I did FLAC on my headphones. I got 13 out of 16. And he just got shellacked. It's like, okay, Wizzo the magician, any asshole can get that.
Yeah. Do you want us to route it through a potato as we listen to our Steely Dan music?
It was just hilarious. He was crowing about it. Anyway, that's the point. I feel like that guy. Like I'm not going to crow about this. It's okay.
All right.
We'll see what happens today. And then if I can crow after today, I will crow.
I like that that's still going on, that there are still weirdos on hi-fi forums that are debating this. It is like the I don't know if it's apocryphal or not, but the Japanese soldier who was still on the island and didn't realize the war had ended 30 years ago.
Yeah, no, that was real, thankfully. That was true. They actually brought his commander out and he yelled to him like, hey man, it is, I'm not kidding you, it's over. He's like, yeah, that's exactly what they would say.
Yeah. Oh man, if there had been hidden camera prank shows at that point in time, that'd be a pretty good one. Maybe we might have to we might have to do that ourselves. Well, right. Here we go. We have, I think, 10 or 11 entries today, and they're, of course, all either real or fanfic that people have written. And people submitted some and said, hey, this is going to be like a nuclear-level spoiler here if you want to use this one. They identified which one it was, and I opted not to read that one. I was tempted. I'm very curious. There's only two more episodes left here, but did not get into that, so...
Yeah, got to save some, save some sauce for the last episode.
Exactly.
Sure.
Yeah, but we can speculate what that might be. It's just good. It's good to know that there is, nuclear level spoilers coming.
There's either Bleriana or lack of Bleriana coming. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. It's something that might be appealing only to us, or maybe it turns out that, Billy is Guinevere or something like that. So.
Crossover with Shatlart or something.
Yes, right.
I mean, it's just who knows.
Yes, or it turns into the it sets the stage for the teen archaeologist or what was the other book called?
Oh,
Sex and Cheaters.
Yes. Yeah.
At the end,
oh, dear,
of this one. So, I don't think that's a spoiler for these, but we're gonna do, I think, 10 or 11. We'll get into them now. And did we? We'll do it the same way. We'll go through them.
We
all.
Did rapid fire.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah.
I revealed the answer after I did.
You
it?
Did for the last one for okay. These specials. We've
sure.
done this.
Otherwise,
this
it would be
way.
Too hard to remember.
It's too long. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, here we go. Here's number one. The mini wad Cornelius yelled, "The goblins are attacking mini wads. Let's do the special trick we use to fight goblins, mini wads. The mini wads have a special trick they use to fight goblins. The mini-wad Delilah and the mini-wad Bernard grabbed the mini-wad Cornelius's feet and became long mini-wad legs. The mini-wad Donovan and the mini-wad Ambrosia grabbed the mini-wad Cornelius's hands and became long mini-wad arms. The mini-wad Cornelius's head also grew in size. When mini-wads do this, it is called becoming a maxi-wad. A maxi-wad is a really big mini-wad. This is a special trick mini-wads use to fight goblins. A maxi-wad is as big as 5 mini-wads put together."
The stupidity is there, and so now people are baiting me with the stupidity of it because they know that I've been fairly successful,
and because we had a mouse hitting a cat with a frying pan.
Yes, however, I'm going to say fanfic.
It is fanfic, yes.
Okay.
It is written by Douglas, and yeah, Maxiwad is stupid.
Maxiwad is a nice innovation.
Yes, yeah. It is. It's very nice. It's very innovations in stupidity. They're a mini-wad Voltron.
Yes.
Here is number two. "I will never do your bidding," cried out the wizard apprentice William, struggling against his bonds. "But you will," the evil sorceress Gwendevyr threatened. "You will betray them, and your name and your family name will be sullied across all time and lands. You know the prophecy. You will lose the upcoming war," the wizard apprentice William said. "Prophecy schmophecy," the evil sorceress Gwendevyr cackled. "Prophecies are fairy tales made up by losers for hope. Power is all you need, and I have more power in my little finger than all your kingdoms have combined."
Oh, my goodness. Well, this is certainly shades of C.S. Lewis, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe.
Sure. Oh,
and we know that she's read that.
Did he say Aslan Schmazlan in that at some point?
White witch, white. Yeah. I don't know. I'll say real.
Wow, really? Prophecy schmophecy? That was fanfic by Harris.
Okay.
Loser.
Oh, come on. Prophecy schmophecy? The cat sits around doing way worse.
That was why I didn't pick it the first time around. I thought that was too blatant.
Oh, come on.
He also, I don't know if this was intentional, but he also said Guinevere. He didn't say Gwendevyr. I assume that was not intentional. I assume you wrote Guinevere.
Oh,
like
I heard Gwendevyr in my head.
No, yeah, I said it. I corrected it.
Okay. All right.
Okay. Here's number three. The cat said sarcastically, "Why would I join forces with you, fox?" The nasty fox said, "We both want to get revenge on the people and creatures of the land of Antigua. I want to get revenge on the gorilla Gordle for throwing me against a tree and King Arthur for locking me up into dungeon." The cat said, "I did not like the evil sorceress Gwendevyr so much that I want to revenge on Princess Rebecca for destroying her. I am a cat after all." The nasty fox said, "Cat, I should just rip you to pieces then." The cat did not become frightened. She said sarcastically, "I was threatened by the evil sorceress Gwendevyr much worse every day. I do not fear you, fox." The nasty fox smiled and said, "I am amazed. How do you not fear me, cat? I am amazed how you do not fear me, cat. I like you very much. We should become friends." The cat yawned and said, "I like you too, fox. Maybe I will have revenge on Princess Rebecca after all."
You see what I'm up against here? I mean, sure, it's real.
That's fanfic.
That was
written by Jory, who wrote all the ones about rats last time.
Plummeting.
Yeah, this is, oh man.
This is a bloodbath.
This is, when a hitter's in line for the batting title at the end of the season and they opt to stay in the lineup instead of sitting it out like a coward.
Well, you know, I don't think yet that I have the yips of like the 1 foot putt jerked 1 foot to the left, but it's getting close.
All right. Here we go. So that's 1 for 3 so far. The knights Sir Livingston, Sir Williamsburg, and Sir Bronson rolled a gigantic man-made slingshot onto the battlefield. The knight Sir Limington yelled, "Hurry, Sir Williamsburg and Sir Bronson. Let's load this thing quickly. The trolls and goblins are gaining on us. We have to stop them now." The knight Sir Williamsburg yelled, "We're right with you, Sir Livingston. Come on, Sir Bronson, hurry." They placed huge boulders into the giant weapon and released them through the air and into the army of trolls and goblins. The elves Kavan and Cathal, along with the gnomes Began, Jarloth, Marnaduke, and Carrick, decided to help the knight Sir Livingston, Sir Williamsburg, and Sir Bronson. The gnome Began yelled, "Jarlath and Marnaduke, we need to help the knights. Let's gather more rocks and boulders for them to attack the goblins and trolls with." The gnome Jarloth and the gnome Marnaduke yelled, "Yeah." The gnome Jarloth yelled, "We're with you, Began." The elf Kavan yelled, "Cathal and I want to help." The gnome Began yelled, "Let's go." They ran off and carried boulders and large rocks and passed them to the knights Sir Livingston, Williamsburg, and Bronson to load in the man-made slingshot.
Slingshot.
Yep, it's a big, it looks, it's not a catapult.
It's not a trebuchet, not a catapult, not a war machine. It's a slingshot.
Like Wile E. Coyote uses it to launch when he has to keep up with the Roadrunner.
You said a typo or a...
I did. They ran off and carry boulders and large rocks and passed them to the knights.
Oh, man. See? This is the bait. dangling before me.
And it was Marnaduke, not Marmaduke.
I mean, obviously I should say that it's fanfic. And yet... I'm going to say it's real.
It's real. It's real.
Son of a bitch.
That's finally. From later in the book.
Woo.
We're getting a huge man-made slingshot. That was submitted by Chap, who went through and found a whole ton of... he's the guy that found the nuclear one.
Marnaduke?
Marnaduke began... Jarlath. I don't know. What is Marmaduke from before it was a huge dog?
I think we have this discussion before.
Oh, okay,
it is
great.
A character from literature somewhere,
sure,
I think. Or it's just a distinguished... There was like a General Marmaduke or something. I don't know.
Great. All right. So that's two for four, 50%. Let's keep going. The elf Nivens and the elf Ragnall stood side by side. The elf Nivens yelled, "Are you ready, Ragnall?" The elf Ragnall yelled, "As ready as I will ever be, Nivens. Let's do this." Fire came right from the hands of Nivens and Ragnall. The elf Nivens and the elf Ragnall had the ability to throw fireballs from their hands. They both tossed fireball after fireball right at the goblins and trolls.
Wow. So we're going, what year did that LARPer video come out? Fireball,
oh, yeah.
Fireball.
Lightning bolt, lightning bolt.
Lightning bolt, lightning bolt.
Yeah, I mean, that's probably right around here.
Uh-huh. What did we question? Can I ask questions? Did we meet the elves before?
I'm not prepared to answer that. I think so, but I don't remember anything specific about them.
The elf Nivens?
Yeah, like I think it's written like is that an actor, David Nivens?
David Nivens, yes. The quintessential, you know, thin mustached British man.
It's,
you know,
it's written
super proper.
Exactly like that, yes.
Nivens.
And
well, there is Marnaduke.
R-A-G-H-N-A-L-L.
This is tough, because I don't know that we have elves, but there was elves in the last one, too. So there are elves, I think, right? There were elves.
Oh, yes, the elf Kavan and Cathal.
Real.
It's real, yes. Congratulations.
Yeah!
That's real. Submitted by Craig. So we've got, yeah, they're going Lightning Bolt, Mario, and Luigi. And so we do get a battle, it appears. You know, we were kind of hoping it was going to end, you know, part one before the battle, but alas.
It sounds like a siege, though, right? Because they're shooting the giant rubber band at them.
Yeah, that says onto the battlefield, though.
Oh, battlefield. Okay, yeah. Maybe that's in the plains to the north.
Yes.
Who knows?
Yes. Okay, so 3 for 5. Here is number 6. Suddenly, her face changed. Cassadorna turned from a young woman into a 75-year-old witch with wrinkled skin, silver hair, pointed ears, reddened eyes, and fingernails that looked like claws. The witch Cassadorna was furious that Brandon didn't follow her into the forest. She screamed out loud and then jumped up into the air. She flew toward Brandon with her sharp claws ready to attack. Brandon turned around just in time to take his magic wand, pointed at her, and force her right into a tree. The witch flew right into the tree and then fell down to the ground. She moaned and then stood up. She flew through the air and screamed at Brandon. Her scream was a piercing scream. She was furious and determined to destroy the young wizard. Brandon pointed her wand at the witch, and then suddenly she disappeared. All that was seen was a puff of smoke. Cassadorna was nowhere to be seen. Brandon had to rest a minute to catch his breath. He was short of breath from trying to save his own life and the fear that he felt within his spirit. The old witch had terrified him.
Okay, he pointed her wand at her?
He pointed her wand at the witch, and then suddenly she disappeared.
Okay. I didn't follow the part where he took her wand.
Brandon turned around just in time enough to take his magic wand, pointed at her, and force her right into the tree. And then later on, Brandon pointed her wand at the witch. I'm just reading what's on the paper.
Okay. Those are the little Ellis touches, though, that people have probably picked up on. I don't know. I'm pushing all in. I'm saying that's real.
It is real. Wow.
Holy shit.
Riding the ship. Four out of six. That confused me too. I didn't know whether he had taken the witch Casa Dorna, who has not been mentioned before.
No, that was another one where, like, come on. Wow. So what's the character count by the time we get done with this book?
I mean, we've got, yeah, we've introduced in this segment alone, in the past three real ones, at least a dozen new characters. Marnaduke.
The list of gnomes and trolls? Or was that fanfic?
No. The Marnaduke and that Jarlath Marnaduke.
Jarlath, yeah.
Carried, that was real. That was all real.
Yeah, right.
So, and then Livingston, Williamsburg, and Bronson have been mentioned before.
That's right. Livingston. Yeah. Okay.
It appears Marnaduke is a character in Jeeves and Wooster. Chuffy Chuffnell, the fifth Baron of Chuffnell.
Oh, Chuffy. Sure.
And I don't know where else it came from, though. But all right. Here is number seven. So four for six. The central plains of Antigua were home to many sprites. All of the sprites were bigger than gnomes, but smaller than mini-wads. They looked like small people, but they dressed themselves with leaves, flowers, and petals from the forest. The sprite Leary was funny and liked to tell jokes. She never took anything seriously. The sprite Aaron was a whiz at fixing anything. The nearby people trusted her to mend anything that was broken. Aaron is spelled E-R-I-N-N-E, by the way. The sprite Jetfree was a great leader. He was brave, but he did not have much of a sense of humor. He was always yelling at the sprite Leary for not being serious. The sprite Lacob liked to meditate and wanted everyone to get along. She tried to calm down Jeffrey when he got upset with Leary. Sometimes it worked and sometimes it didn't. Lacob is spelled Jacob, but with an L.
Sure. We can't have a new race? A new race with new characteristics for each one? Come on. I have to say fanfic.
It is fanfic, yes. Five out of seven. You are correct. It would be insane to introduce such a thing at this point in time.
But we have the elves.
As we do. We have Marnaduke the elf. So I don't know what to tell you. Nothing is out of bounds here. Like, you want to get nuts? Let's get nuts.
Yes.
Five out of seven. Now here's number eight. The sorceress just happened to be looking through her crystal ball in the middle of her castle when Jonathan walked up to her castle. The sorceress's pet cat was near her. The sorceress smiled and said out loud, "Well, what do we have here? A young wizard is coming up to my castle. What is he thinking? He must be the stupidest wizard in the entire land of Antigua. What nerve he has. Does he think he could waltz in and out of my kingdom as he pleases? What a fool. I shall destroy him." The black cat had lain down on the floor and was licking her paws. The cat said, "Meow, meow, my queen, calm down. Do not be so hasty. Maybe we can use this to our advantage. Why don't you wait and find out exactly why he is here? He may be of some use to you." The sorceress thought about it for a second. She said, "Yes, yes, yes. Maybe you're right, cat. I may be able to use him. He may be just what I need to destroy the kings and their armies. You are not a total waste of my time."
I mean, that could obviously be taken from the end of the book. Something like that is, of course, going to happen.
Jonathan, you mean?
Yes. Yeah. But still, I'm going to say fanfic.
That one's real, I'm afraid.
Shit.
Sorry. We do.
There's so much real in this.
That's a good quote out of context. I believe I forgot to mention the last one with the sprites was written by Josh. This was real and submitted by Chap.
She says, "Yes, yes, yes."
All of them have exclamation marks. Yes.
That's a new Ellis trait. So that was actually the key for me.
Ha. That's what you thought was fake?
Yeah. There just hasn't been that. I mean, of all their weird quirks, that's a new one.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Huh. All right. Dang.
All right. So five out of eight. Here's number nine, right? The wizard apprentice William yelled, "Oh, no. We've seen skeletons with flaming swords like these before. They were sent by the evil sorceress Grandevier." The 10 skeletons were swinging magnificent swords that were actually on fire, but the flames did not harm the bones of their hands. The 10 skeletons began to fight with the three knights and the three wizard apprentices, the three princesses, and Timothy. The knight Sir Bronson yelled, "How did you defeat these skeletons when you saw them before, Wizard Apprentice William?" The wizard apprentice William said, "I don't know, they just disappeared before." Princess Trina struck one of the skeletons with her special stick. Suddenly the skeleton fell to the ground and was just a pile of bones. Princess Alexandra shot an arrow into the skeletons. Suddenly, that skeleton turned into a pile of bones on the ground. Princess Sasha stabbed a skeleton with her magnificent sword. Suddenly, the skeleton fell to the ground and was just a pile of bones. The three wizard apprentices shot electricity out of their wands and turned three skeletons into piles of bones on the ground. The three knights struck three skeletons with their swords, and they turned into a pile of bones on the ground. Timothy stuck the last skeleton with his sword. Suddenly, the skeleton fell to the ground and was just a pile of bones. The squirrel monkeys swung down from the trees and picked up the leg bones of the destroyed skeletons and started banging on the skeleton skulls, making musical notes. Everyone began to laugh out loud.
Obviously, I hope that's real, but I'm going to say fanfic.
Fanfic. It is fanfic, written by Chap. Would you have thought it was different if I omitted the last thing about the squirrel monkeys? I almost did a real-time audible.
I almost sensed that you were doing the real... I had already chosen... Okay. That it was fanfic. Just because, I mean, it's sort of a recreation of that scene. Uh-huh. And the repetition of saying that they, you know, fell to the ground in the pile of bones is not beyond them. But, you know, tipping the scale. Again, sure. These are all like 51-49 either way. So it's tough.
Right. That would be, you know, just it's getting too greedy, you know. It's not right. Not walking away from the table after you've been counting cards for an hour.
Right. He was playing with house money there.
All right. So that's 6 out of 9. We have 2 more. Don't you see, Rebecca, said Princess Sasha. This is why you were sent here. It is your destiny. You were the ruler of the Fourth Kingdom, the Kingdom of the North. That is why the evil sorceress Gwendevyr is afraid of you. The land will listen to you instead. It will be like you and not be dark and dreary and hateful, but beautiful and kind. Me, the ruler of a kingdom? How could that be, said Rebecca. I can't do magic. I can't rule a kingdom, especially one that's all trolls and goblins and black panthers and alligators. Look, said Princess Sasha. They all looked, and the troll that had been threatening them changed. It wasn't a troll anymore. It was a gnome instead. It had changed from a troll to a gnome. Yes, said the black cat. You have the magic of the North.
Well... Certainly sounds plausible to me.
Yeah, they all do.
I'm going to say real.
It's fanfic.
Damn.
Written by Patrick. 6 out of 10. 6 out of 10. You could still get above 50% for this one.
Yeah.
We're approaching the final one.
All right.
Yeah. See, when they go subtle, that's how you trick them. You can't be banging on skeletons with monkeys.
Oh, but...
Cat frying pan, I guess. Nothing is out of the question here. That's why it's so devious. It's amazing.
Slingshot elves with slingshots, whatever.
Yeah, enormous man-sized slingshots. All right, here's the final one. Princess Sasha couldn't believe her eyes. It was her double again. Princess Sasha yelled, "You again, imposter. I am the real Princess Sasha. I beat you in a sword fight before, and I will beat you again." Princess Sasha pulled her sword out from its holder. Princess Sasha's double pulled out her sword and yelled, "No, I am the real Princess Sasha. I am the best sword fighter in all the land of Antigua. I will beat you." The two young girls began sword fighting. Everyone was confused. Both the young girls looked like Princess Sasha. Rebecca yelled, "Which one is the real Princess Sasha?" Princess Sasha yelled, "I am." Princess Sasha's double yelled, "No, I am." Apprentice Wizard William yelled, "We don't have time for this. We'll sort it out later." He zapped both girls with his magic wand. They fell asleep and dropped to the ground.
Oh, gosh. This is tough. Which wizard zapped them? Apprentice?
Apprentice Wizard William.
William. All right, here's the 51-49. I'll talk it through with the audience so no one can accuse me. I think that's not William-like.
Okay, yeah.
So I'm going to say that that's fanfic.
It is fanfic, yes. Well done. Yeah, that's 7. Seven out of 11. That's a tremendous percentage. I mean, you know, the stage was set for everything to seem not good. But for me, the tell in that one was it called him the Apprentice Wizard William and not Wizard Apprentice William.
Oh, okay.
That's when you see Wizard Apprentice however many dozen times we've read it in the book, it sticks out like a sore thumb. That was written by Craig.
Nicely done. I'm glad I don't have to do any more, right? We're on the last episode coming up.
No, we have 2 more.
Oh, crap.
But we'll see. We'll see. We'll see if there's anything real that's not a major spoiler, you know?
I'm just afraid that people are going to use yes, yes, yes against me, and I'll be powerless to stop it.
Yeah, I mean,
I'm tipping my hand.
They'll have to see if it comes up. Yeah, I might say we've done enough. I don't know. We'll see. We'll see who sends them in.
Okay.
We're not going to just trot out garbage fanfic in order to fulfill a segment. But if we get some devious ones, if I think there's a chance to fool you, we'll keep going with it.
Okay. So combining the two off-app extras, I do a lot better on the off.
Yeah, maybe just the pressure of the bigger audience. I don't know.
Yeah, that's true.
I think you went 20 for 25 in the two bonuses, so 80%.
Okay. All right. I'll take that. I'll take that as a W.
Yeah. Well, this is like, you know, it's like bowling a perfect game when there's only a couple other weirdos at the bowling alley as opposed to, you know, televised, like Who Do You Think You Are, I Am.
It's like being, yes, the, you know, nobody goes to the natatorium to watch swimming finals, right?
Right.
I just set a record for my collegiate swimming, and yes. No one's there to see it.
Right, so exactly.
That's fine.
All right. So, you know, thanks to everyone who joined us in the natatorium today. We will keep these coming. And thanks to everyone who submitted the Devious fanfic, the Devious Reels. Very much appreciated. Lots of fun.
Thanks, everyone at Patreon as well, and we'll be back with an ep soon. Connor's out of town for a little bit, so who knows? Might be a classical mini.
Oh,
you Patreon people.
Well.
Yeah?
A little tease. Yeah.
All right.
Thank you,
take
everybody.
Care, everyone.
Bye. Bye.